I'd like to encourage the rest of you, if you would, to open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 this morning is where we want to focus our attention. One of my pastoral responsibilities here at Faith Alliance Church is to pick up the garbage that finds its way onto our church property. Over 10 years of ministry, I've found all kinds of things, some which are not suitable to share for a gathering such as this. But this past Friday morning, much like I did this morning, I was making my rounds of the property, picking up other people's junk. Not a very rewarding ministry. However, on Friday, I was blessed because I found something that I hadn't found before. And I'm sure some might be thinking, well, he must have found some money, or maybe a piece of jewelry. No, I've never found such a treasure. There was in the parking lot a piece of paper, neatly folded, that had been driven over several times. Normally, I would pick up such a piece of paper and toss it into the bag that I was carrying. But I believe I was prompted by the Holy Spirit to see what it was. And so as I opened it, to my surprise, it was notes from my sermon last Sunday, written by one of our youth. And even more special was they got it. They understood what God was saying through the passage. Let me read their notes to you. I have a feeling I might know who it is, but I won't say that here. Every part of the body of Christ is needed. God does not make unnecessary Christians. The foot cannot do what the hand does. And then they drew the cartoon that I shared with you last Sunday about the pastor who didn't want to get up and go to church on Sunday when it was his day. But I was thankful for that. As a pastor, I'm not always sure what is being heard by you or if it is even being heard. But I'm thankful that someone was listening. You see, if we permit God, He will always speak to us through His Word. And hopefully, we will take what He says and apply it to our lives. Before we look at His Word this morning, let's pray together. Lord, we're so thankful for Your Word. And I'm thankful, Lord, for the encouragement that I received from You this past week. I'm thankful, Lord, that Your Word, when it goes out, it does not return void. But, Lord, it goes out to accomplish a purpose. Lord, I would ask and pray that each one of us this morning would allow Your Word to accomplish its purpose in our lives, and that You would speak to us, and more than anything, Lord, that You would be glorified in this time. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last Sunday, we did look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, and we saw how the Lord Jesus Christ designed His church to be an integral part of our life and our growth as His disciples. We saw the importance of each member encouraging one another and spurring one another on toward love and good deeds. We saw how each member is necessary, that God does not create any unnecessary members or parts to the body of Christ. The Lord implores us to spur one another on toward love and good deeds, to encourage one another until He returns. Until He returns. This is part of what He's asked us to do. This is Christ's desire for Faith Alliance Church. This is why He has put us together here in this place this morning. As I shared in my annual report last Sunday, I spoke of an old saying that coaches use Maybe some of your businesses have used it before. I know that therapists will encourage their clients with it. And I believe it applies to the church. And that saying is this: you only get out of life what you put in. You only get out of life what you put in. And what that means is that there's one important rule in life that we often forget about. You only get as much out of life as you put into it. Nothing worthwhile comes easily. Nothing great can be achieved quickly and effortlessly. Now, we as Americans want that to be different. We want it to happen quickly. We want it to happen effortlessly. But you only get out of life what you put into it. And the same is true for our life here at Faith Alliance Church. If we put little into our church and our life as the body of Christ, we should expect little, if anything, in return. And I believe we need to consider our mindset about the church and how we look at the church here in Goldsboro and the church in the world today. We need to look at how we view church life and the value we place on it in comparison to everything else that we're involved in. We know from Scripture that the local church is important to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, He is the one who founded the church. He is the head of the church. He is the builder of the church. He is the builder of Faith Alliance Church. And we know from Scripture that this is true. And we see very clearly, as we did from Hebrews last week, the book of Hebrews, and here this morning in Acts chapter 2 and other places, examples of how Christ views the importance of His body, of the local church. These examples are not written for just our reading enjoyment, but are recorded because Christ wants us to pursue a lifestyle like that which we see in His Word. And so this morning from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, we want to look at one of those examples. And Luke, the writer of this book, says this. He says, "They joined together with the other believers and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together constantly and shared everything they had. They sold their possessions and shared the proceeds with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, God added to their group those who were being saved." I mean, doesn't that sound like they were having an awesome experience together as believers? I'm sure all of us would like to be a part of something like that. For my 10 years here in Goldsboro, yes, I've been here that long. Some of you might have thought I've been here longer. But for the 10 plus years that Ruth and I have been here, I've wanted to experience what they were experiencing in Jerusalem. And in all honesty, I believe that's why we have this picture of the church in the book of Acts. Because this is the way that Christ intends His church, the one that He is building, to be. This is His vision for Faith Alliance Church. And it is His vision for every church that He is building. Now, some might be thinking, well, you know, we do some of the same things. We do similar things as they did. We worship, and we do. And I want to thank Brian and the worship team for leading us this morning. We take communion. Once a month, we take communion. We pray, and we enjoy fellowship. We meet here every Sunday, and some of us meet in small groups throughout the week, and a few of us meet on Tuesday night to pray. And we do these things. We perform these and other expressions of our faith. And yet, I feel like for some it's just one of many things that we're involved in. And as a result, it's not more important than all the other stuff. Several words and phrases from the text just kind of jump off the page for me. Maybe they do for you. And I believe if we look at them and consider them, they'll help us to understand what the Lord wants us to see, what Jesus wants us to see, what the head of the church wants for each and every one of us. Let's consider them. We're told that they were devoted. They were devoted to four continuing commitments as God's people. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to fellowship, to the sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. In other words, they were committed to learn. They were committed to learn, to gain knowledge. They were committed to care. Care for each other. They were committed to fellowship. And they were committed to prayer and worship. Now the learning took place, we're told, as they sat under the teaching of the apostles, as they sat under the teaching of God's Word. And at the center of this teaching was the gospel of Jesus' life and ministry. They taught the gospel. They taught about Jesus. They taught about their experiences with Him. And we have the gospels, don't we? We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The stories of Jesus' life and ministry. I'm sure their teaching also included matters that were ethical, and there were probably practical matters of being a Christian in the world in which they were living, as well as warnings. Warnings about temptation, about persecution, possibly suffering for their faith, and yeah, the false teaching that was in their times and also in ours. But at the center was the gospel message. Their devotion was not to a program. It was not to a program. Their devotion was to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. They were anxious to believe, and they were anxious to obey what Jesus taught. Whether the teaching took place in the temple courts or in the homes as they studied the life of Christ, they were anxious. They were excited about learning and obeying what God had to say to them. And as they increased in their knowledge and their understanding of Christ through the teaching of the Word of God, their faith grew. And they grew in their relationship with Jesus, and their commitment to Christ deepened. There was a hunger for the Word of God. And that hunger, I believe, is missing today. I'm not just speaking about here at Faith Alliance Church. I'm speaking about the church in North America in general. The hunger for the Word of God is missing. And the hunger needs to be recaptured. We need to study the Word of God, but we also need not only to study it and gain more knowledge, but we need to apply what we study to our lives. Many Christians attend all kinds of Bible studies in churches. Some do it online. One might know what God's Word says, but if you're not applying it to your daily life, forget about it. It's really not doing you any good. All you're gaining is head knowledge. When one is devoted to Jesus, as we see written here, they are devoted to the teaching of God's Word. They are committed to applying it to their lives. And that includes everything revealed to us about the church, about the body of Christ. We see that their devotion to Christ not only included teaching, but they were devoted to fellowship. Their commitment to care and fellowship reveals that they were related to each other in love. This love was a result of the common bond that they shared in Jesus Christ. The word used here for fellowship is koinonia. It's a word that most of us here are probably familiar with in one way or another. And it bears witness to the common everyday life of the church in two very important ways. And the first is that it expresses what we share in together as the body of Christ. What we share together as the body of Christ. Together as believers, we have fellowship with Him. We have fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. As believers, we share together in fellowship with God. That's part of why we're here this morning. And second, koinonia expresses what we share out together. In other words, what we give as well as what we receive. It wasn't just a few who were sharing and giving of themselves to the rest of the body. But everyone in the body of Christ, as we read here in Acts chapter 2, was involved in the giving and receiving. Whether it was in encouragement or in spurring one another on to love and good deeds, Luke tells us they did things like selling their possessions and sharing the proceeds with those in need. They shared everything they had. They persevered in fellowship. They supported each other. They relieved each other's needs. Their commitment to one another was not casual. It was not when it fit into their busy schedules. You know, some have mistakenly believed that going to church was all that these people did. They're in Acts chapter 2. That's all they did. They went to the temple every day. They went to each other's homes. Hey, folks, they had jobs. And the jobs that they had were manual labor. They were a lot more difficult than probably most of our jobs today. And there wasn't any OSHA overseeing their jobs. In other words, they were working long, hard hours for little pay. And they had jobs. They had families. They had bills just like we do. Now, their times were different, obviously. But their struggles were still the same as ours. Their devotion to one another took precedence over all the other activities in their lives because they understood that being intimately involved with a community of believers on this level was God's design for spiritual growth of every believer and also for the growth of His kingdom. Because of their devotion to Christ, remember, that's where it was first. It wasn't to a program, but it was to the Savior. Because of that devotion, they invested their time. They invested their resources. They invested their energy into each other's lives. We see, too, that out of their fellowship to Christ, that there was a commitment to worship. Their fellowship was expressed not only in caring for one another, but also in corporate worship, where believers gather to worship together to bring glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for who He is, for the great things that He has done for us. Worship was both formal and informal. As we read, they met daily for worship in the temple. And in their homes, the teaching of the Word of God, the Lord's Supper and prayer were all very integral to their worship experience. But something else was present, and that was joy and praise. It characterized the atmosphere of these gatherings, as did expectation and anticipation that God was going to work as they met together. And work is something that God did. It was something that He did in the lives of those believers who were committed to worship Him. God performed miracles, we read, through the apostles. And each day, probably the greatest miracle of all, was that He added believers, new believers to the church, people whose lives were changed. People who were forgiven of their sins. People who became new creations in Christ every day. That miracle took place. the living Christ in the lives of believers in that day, in that church, was like a magnet to those who were outside the church. They saw what had happened in the lives of those who were in the church and what was happening when they gathered together. And those who watched wanted, desired what they as believers had. Does anybody want what you and I have? Seriously. Does anybody want what you and I have? Does anybody know what you and I have? Are they able to see the living Christ in our personal lives, in our gatherings as we come together? You see, when these people gathered these believers gathered in the temple for worship or in their homes, they expected God to show up powerfully to that gathering. You see, when God shows up, He always shows up in power. Always. I'm sure they prayed for God to meet them in worship. And as they prayed, they expected Him to work. We're told a deep sense of awe came over them. Came over them all. A deep sense of awe. There was a wonderful sense that God was in their midst and they knew it. And so their worship reflected His presence in joyfulness, in reverence. They bowed before God in humility and wonder. There was a healthy balance of joy and awe and worship. And this was evidence of the realization of God's presence and His power and His working in these gatherings. When was the last time you experienced a deep sense of joy and awe in a worship service? As I read through these verses, I noticed that joy and awe was a daily experience for these believers. Their experience is so much different than ours many times, isn't it? Joy and awe for the Lord. Was joy and awe something that they worked into their order of service? I was talking to Brian earlier. He had joy and awe in his plan for today. No. They didn't work it into the service. It wasn't something that the worship team sat down and planned for. They thought, well, with this particular song or this music set, we will create the mood for awe and joy. Or they might think, well, if we have this soloist, if she sings this song, it's going to nail them. No. It wasn't the PowerPoint presentation. It wasn't the videos they used. It wasn't any of that. How did they do it? How did they create an environment of joy and awe? They didn't. God did. God did it. God worked because why? They were devoted to Him. Their focus was on Him. In these verses, I believe God has provided us with a picture of what He wants every local body of Christ to experience each time they gather. In fact, we should be experiencing it right now. And this is Christ's vision for the church around the world. And Acts 2 is a reference point. It's a reference point that He wants us to continually come back to, because this is a picture of how it is supposed to be. These verses help us see what we wouldn't be able to see without an example. We need visuals. I need visuals. And God knows that. And so He created us that way. And he provided us a very powerful one here in Acts chapter 2. Out of that, he reveals to us a Spirit-filled church in action. We're not having, at least to this point, a similar experience on a consistent basis here at Faith Alliance Church. And we can't say it's because of lack of desire. We can't say that. I mean, how many would love to experience what they were experiencing there in Acts chapter 2? I know I would. Many today crave a deeper experience with God. Many want to see powerful signs and wonders performed. There's no lack of people who desire that. I mean, think of all the people who went to just see Jesus do that. They wanted to see the magician. They wanted to see the man who had power. Many of them went, many of them left. Many of them didn't know Jesus. The same is true today. There are many who desire to see powerful signs and wonders, who desire to see God powerfully and meet their needs, heal their illnesses, relieve their pain. So if we desire it, why doesn't it happen? Why doesn't it take place? I mean, I want it, don't you? Yeah. I believe there's an underlying reason why. And the reason it doesn't happen is because we want it to occur within the confines of a cordial and comfortable relationship with God. We don't verbalize this, but we want God to work on our own terms and not His. We want God to work on our time schedule, not His. And if you haven't figured that out yet, that's not how God works. It's His way or the highway, okay? It's not what we desire that's important, but what God desires for each and every one of us. What He desires for Faith Alliance Church. And what He desires first for every believer is a growing, intimate relationship with the Savior that manifests itself in their devotion to Him and also to the local church that they're a part of. You know, people who seek spiritual experiences aside from a deep and intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ need not apply. Because it doesn't come that way. At least real experience with Christ does not come that way. Believers whose only desire is to get closer in their relationship with Jesus Christ will experience what we see in these verses. Why? Because they're pursuing Christ and not an experience. They're pursuing Christ and not an experience. All they want is Jesus. Nothing else. And that's what we see in these verses, because they knew that Jesus was all they needed. And when you have Jesus, everything in life comes together. And I mean that even when your life is falling apart, if you have Jesus, everything in life comes together. And yet, that's probably the most difficult lesson that we all have to learn as followers of Christ. It's important for us to understand that a large part of God's plan for every believer's growth in their relationship to Christ is devoted involvement in a Spirit-filled community of believers. Remember what I said earlier at the beginning? You only get out of life what you put in. And so in the context of the church, this is how it goes. What that means is that there's one important rule in church life that we often forget about. You only get as much out of life with the body of Christ as you put into it. If all you put in is Sunday morning, then nothing, you should expect little, if anything, in return. I believe our mindset about church and its importance in our lives needs to be adjusted. It needs to change. You see, a community that is passionate about their relationship to Jesus will demonstrate that passion by their commitment to what He has revealed through His Word as vital for their relationship with Him. You see, there are so many Christians, and we talked about this last week, so many, and we've seen it in our own church, who have left local assemblies. We've had people here leave the church and not go anywhere else. They just left. And they think they can do it on their own ways. They're lone rangers. In Jesus' Word, the Word of God shows us that the church, the body of Christ, is essential if we're going to grow in our faith and our walk with Him. You can't do it without. If you think you can, you're believing a lie that is not from God's Word, but from the devil himself. Because God's Word shows us the centrality of the church within the life of the believer. It's vital if we're to grow in our relationship with Him. And so that means that everyone sitting in this room this morning and those who are not with us this morning have a responsibility. Each of us is responsible for, first of all, our own personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm responsible for mine. You cannot help me in that. I have to determine to grow in that area. We're responsible for that relationship with Him. And ultimately, that relationship affects the body of Christ as a whole. Why we need each other is that we can encourage, we can help each other grow. But if we're not where we should be in our walk with Christ, that negatively affects the body of Christ that we're a part of. That means if we personally are not growing in Christ, Faith Alliance Church is affected. Jesus Christ must be our life, as He was in the lives of those that we see in these verses. He must be our life, not just one among many other things that we're engaged in life. It's more than giving Him a place in our life. We must allow Him to encompass every area and aspect of our lives. We must be devoted to Him and to each other because that's how God designed it to be. That's not how Pastor Ed designed it to be because he wants people to be here at church. That has nothing to do with Pastor Ed. It has something to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's more than giving Him that place in our life. Over the years, I've come to notice that North American Christians want to experience Jesus on their terms, as He fits into their schedules and the other things they value in life, so that what we read of and see in these verses is, for the most part, foreign to most believers here in North America today. It all really comes down to this. Just give me Jesus. Jesus is the missing ingredient in most of our relationships. When Jesus is not our passion and our life, then we should expect little, if anything, to happen. Not only in our lives as Christians, but also here at Faith Alliance Church. God's desire and God's vision for you and for me and for our church is that we be filled with His Spirit. And one can only come to that place as they put their relationship with Jesus above everything else in their lives and allow Him to be in full control of their lives. We've got to give up control. And are you willing to give up control of your life this morning to be devoted to Christ? It's not your way. It's what Jesus has for you. It's His way. It's better than anything that you and I can ever imagine. But are we willing to give up control? It means our relationship with Christ becomes more important than our family than our job, than our recreation, than our possessions, than our pleasures, than our sense of comfort in life. When it is, guess what? He'll bless all those other areas. But when those other areas are more important than when Jesus is in our lives, we can't expect to enjoy His blessing, nor can our church expect to flourish. I'm sure that there is no one present here this morning that doesn't want to see God work in their lives or here at Faith Alliance Church. And in our community here in Goldsboro, a city that desperately needs to see the living Christ at work. But God doesn't work according to our plans and our schedules. He works as we, like our brothers and sisters in Christ in Acts 2, experienced, as they devoted themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and those things that ensured His centrality in their lives. Yes, you see, the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the sharing in the Lord's Supper and prayer, what did that do? What did it do? It kept Christ front and center in their lives. They were devoted to Jesus first, not to a program, not to these ministries, but to Jesus first. And those various ministries kept Him center in their life. Their relationship to Christ encompassed every area of their lives. They were devoted to Him. Be honest with yourself this morning. Who are you devoted to? Really? Be honest. Who are you devoted to? You devoted to your job? You devoted to your family? Does that come before Jesus? Who are you devoted to? You know, it's possible to know Jesus Christ as Savior, and yet for Him to be at times MIA in our busy lives. When this happens, the first place that is affected is, and most important, is your relationship with Him. And the second is the church that you're a part of. And so may I encourage you to take this passage of Scripture, and I challenge you, I encourage you to take this passage of Scripture and what you've heard this morning and ask God to help you understand where your life is and what He desires for you. Because it's critical. Your relationship to Him is critical. It's critical to your own personal walk. It's critical to your family. And it's critical to this family, the Faith Alliance Church. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word and for the challenges that we find in it. Lord, living here in North America, with all that is available to us, distracts us and keeps us many times from what we need to be about as your church, as Your people, as Your children. And so I pray in Jesus' name that You would help us to honestly look at our lives and to consider what You're trying to say to us. I'm sure that there are probably those here this morning that maybe don't like what I had to say. But I say it, Lord, in love, for them and their walk with You. And I say it, Lord, because I love this church and I desire that this church flourish. And the people look at us because of our walk with You and want what we have. I ask these things in Jesus' name.